I thought maybe it'd be appropriate to play some Carlos Montoya, since we're speaking of gypsy music. It's flamenco guitar and probably a very well-known flamenco guitarist from...
He played here in Rio.
He did, and you were able to see him?
No, he played one of the summer concerts outdoor, was like 4,000 people.
Yeah.
It was almost months before he died.
Wow. This song here is would be called Tango Antico. So... coming from a cassette tape. That's Tango Antigua. And we were just talking about Carlos Montoya and flamenco guitar. We're actually, this is a very talkative show, but there's so much really interesting information that my guest host Carlos has here. I definitely want to get all this in, but we'll play as much music as possible, as well as getting the dialogue in here. Carlos, you were saying about the...
It's kind of... See, the flamenco guitar is very difficult to play, you know? It's never a classical guitar player should look down at these people,
right,
like this folk or anything, because it's a... In 1985, I can't even remember, there was a guitar society here in Richmond, and they brought an American flamenco player, Peter Baines, I think it was his name, and they stay in the apartment of me and my former wife to save money. So I was all the day with him. When he left, the classical guitar seemed so boring for me. I was in a crisis. The other guitar was so exciting with the strummings, the freedom to do whatever movement you want. Then it's for 5 days, a week, so we'll walk back to this normal world. It's okay, but then, I don't know. It's different it
also
ways
you get to do a lot more of the rhythmic.
Yeah, they have this kind of... They are so free. They move the hands with more, less restraint, like the classical guitar.
And the tapping that Carlos Montoya on that recording was doing, is there a name for that, or just tapping?
It's a Spanish name.
It's okay.
I think it's the name of the fingernail, like uña. So they have kind of a plastic cover.
Yeah.
You know, after a couple of months, you make a hole.
Oh, the flamenco guitars typically have a little plastic cover where they're tapping on the guitar.
The flamenco guitar, let's not get there, it's not the classical guitar.
It's
smaller, it sounds more metallic. Like you need a more aggressive sound.
Yeah, and the player has to be more aggressive.
It's not,
it
doesn't have...
Right.
The sweetness of the classical guitar is more like...
Well, maybe that's because a lot of them are playing outdoors sometimes, and project on
in a
dance hall, maybe some of that will be played, and they have to project
the
a little
story,
more.
I'm not an expert. No.
Of course.
The story I heard is that the big shot in the flamenco ensemble was the dancer and the singer. The guitar player was sitting there accompanied.
Right.
Then coming here in the United States is when the flamenco guitar player became a solo player in his own. He started giving recitals. So in the original situation, the guy was there to accompany the singer and the dancers, who were the big shows.
Well, up next here, we're gonna move on into the Asturias, and this piece was written by whom?
Isaac Albeni.
Well, up next here, we're gonna move on into the Asturias, and this piece was written by whom?
Isaac Albeni almost lived parallel lives with Enrique Granados. I mean, he wrote in this
dance
is so evident. I saw playing in piano. The piano do the best they can with the genius of these people to imitate this.
That one.
Play the 10 finger, pa-bam.
Yeah.
You're going to see, bringing back in the guitar, then the music come back almost to the flamenco roots.
Yeah, and it was written for piano, but it's harder to do that move on the piano, that one part.
It's a little bit more awkward than in the guitar. Albeniz and Granados were virtuoso piano players, besides good composers, but they were piano people.
Yeah, this piece here actually would be most recognizable to a lot of the Western ear, because it was featured in the 60s rock band, The Doors, the beginning of that some
the Spanish
song.
Caravan, yeah.
Yeah, they take
the
this children, melody
you
here.
You gave me a copy when you were in high school.
Of course.
One of the children gave me the Spanish Caravan by Doors. The introduction of the song let's not say this, but it's kind of
it's a little presumptuous of the Doors to have just taken that and used it at free will and just an excerpt of this beautiful piece.
License.
Yeah, well, we're gonna play the full version here. This is Asturias. Yeah, John Williams is playing the Asturias here. Cut that one a little bit short, even though it's actually, well, let's play the rest. The record is sounding pretty bad, but yeah, the beginning part of that actually repeats again at the end, and I am just cutting that one short because we only have an hour and a half left. This is WRIRLP 97.3 FM Richmond Indie Radio, and you're listening to If Music Could Talk. We're here with guest host Carlos Pozzi. Did you want to play some music or say something about that piece, or why don't you play some guitar? Which piece were you gonna do first?
Whatever you decide.
Okay.
You like to do it first?
Sure. Thank you. Carlos Posey on guitar here. What was that piece called?
Well, the piece is called Lloran las ramas del viento. Should be something like the branches of the tree, of course, cry with the wind.
Wow.
This composer, now we're going to say a couple of things, he wrote for a Czechoslovakian movie which is called Horizons of Stone, Horizontes de Piedra. And the composer is Atahualpa Yupanqui, he was a great guitar player, the composer, but I suppose mainly he was a poet, a mm-hmm. wonderful poet.
Yeah.
Atahualpa Yupanqui is kind of a artistic name. His name was a very Argentinian name, like Roberto Chavero.
Yeah.
He took this Atahualpa Yupanqui, like, to identify with the Indians as ancestors.
That's a beautiful piece. Thank you. Did you want to play another one, or you want to save that for later? You're listening to WIR 97.3. This is Carlos Posey on guitar. Deep breath is necessary after that one. It's an amazing, amazing sound, Carlos. Thank you.
Wow. Well, this is Vidalita. It's from the Pampas in Argentina. It's what people associate with the gauchos or the it's kind of the central part of the country.
In Argentina.
This melancholic part of the Pampas is a very flat, big extension with no mountain, with very monotonous landscape.
Yeah. How long ago do you think that was written?
Well, this actually is a, to be honest with you, it's a very little theme que go like this, eh? This is anonymous. Even a composer in this nationalistic period we were mentioning in Argentina in the 20s, he wrote a symphony on this theme.
Oh, wow.
This version almost belongs, it's a little thing. This developing in the guitar, Eduardo Falú, is another folk, more classical oriented Argentina folk guitar player, he developed this more kind of virtuosic approach.
Yeah.
The little theme.
Right, they take a small theme or just a passage from folk music and expand on it. Different composers have taken similar
folk
melodies.
It have worked, but I don't see if I feel all right.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's
no
that's
problem.
Beautiful. I guess you'll maybe play a little bit more in a little bit. I'm actually watching the time here. I want to be sure to get as much as of that as possible because it's just beautiful. You're listening to WRIR. We can only do things like this because of your support. So if you want more information about the station, WRIR.org is the place to go. Also, let you know, portions of this program are brought to you because of generous underwriting support of Cafe Gutenberg. Cafe Gutenberg is a restaurant, bookstore, and wine lounge all in one. The cafe offers everything from fine dining to a simple cup of Italian coffee to an eclectic collection of new and used books. Upstairs, they have constant events like wine tastings, poetry slams, film nights, book signings, and live music. More information and a calendar of events is available at cafegutenberg.com. And excuse me, Carlos, I actually have to play a public service announcement for everyone here, too, and we'll get ready for the next little selection here. Yeah, we're here with Carlos Pozzi, and thanks for tuning in.
What does Alison Krauss remember about music class when she was a kid?
My fondest memory of music class is kind of just an overall memory, not a specific instance, because music was something completely different than any other class in school. It was, I remember it as all being fun, and the reward wasn't, you know, a great test score, and it wasn't a higher grade. It was getting to be a part of an ensemble and singing something at the end where everybody knew their part. It was all fun and games to me, and you made friends. You know, I found that you made friends that lasted a really long time, at least the ones that, for me, that have lasted the longest are ones that I met in school chorus or in music classes, and not who I sat next to in math.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, Gibson Guitar, Baldwin Piano, and this station. Music, part of a sound education.
Okay, it's about 8 o'clock here, and you're listening to WIR. I'm going to play some more Segovia, and then you'll hear some more of Carlos Pozzi.
Thank you.